Welcome everyone to episode 209 of the Reds Unrestricted podcast. I'm your host David Comerford and I'm joined by Mark Baker as we react to Liverpool's 3-0 defeat against Atalanta in the Europa League.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Liverpool's first home defeat since the first leg of the Champions League last 16 against Real Madrid last season, where they obviously lost 5-2. This one came completely out of nowhere, really, but it puts Liverpool obviously with a mountain to climb heading to the second leg in Atalanta next week. And this sort of vision that everybody's had of signing off for Jurgen Klopp's tenure in Dublin by winning the Europa League all of a sudden is in extreme doubt, you would have to say, after a, you know, shambolic performance that, like I say, nobody really saw coming. Mark, I'll throw it straight over to you. Just a three-word summary of that match. And obviously, we're going to get into what went down in that game, why things went so pear-shaped for Liverpool in a bit more depth in a second, but just sort of your initial take, if you like.
Yeah, I'd say a dreadful night is probably how I'd sum it up, Dave. I think it's got to be one of the dark nights of Klopp's reign, really. I don't think there's a collective performance, considering the standard of the opposition as well, and considering Liverpool are no longer in the Premier European competition, home game against Atalanta to be in a situation where you can progress in the competition. And it was, it was all over the place, really.
Yeah. Just thinking as well, I gave my tickets away to someone who hadn't been to the game for ages today. As I was thinking, I'll probably get through and then I'll be able to go to the semi-final instead. And I'm thinking that's why you don't take those things for granted in football. Because that looks like it's a bit of a 1% shot at the moment. Obviously the fact that Liverpool played the first leg at home this time too means that it's an even taller order. You know, you'd almost have in the back of your mind that Liverpool will probably manage to pull something out if they're coming back to Anfield. Not that it counts for much in this game, but yeah, going to Atalanta. I mean, at least they won 5-0 there previously. So all they need to do is do that again and they'll be all right. But yeah, I mean, on a serious note, my three-word review would be completely lost focus. And what I mean by that is, so coming into this game, I thought in the back of my mind, you know what? Nice to be playing in the Europa League. Should hopefully take another step towards winning a bit more silverware. You know, Anfield European night. Liverpool, obviously, you know, the best team in this competition, all things like that. It means that unusually in this period of the season, you can sort of look forward to a game rather than be nervous for it. And I almost think the players sort of felt a bit like that as well. You know, such is the situation in the Premier League at the moment. It was a bit like they took this game lightly just because of that, you know, that it was just sort of the Premier League's, you know, in the Premier League shadow, just a bit of complacency there, a little bit of like just not approaching the game with the same intensity. And how many times have we seen down the years English teams, be it Arsenal, Man United, Tottenham, whoever you like, really, getting knocked out when everyone thinks, oh, they'll come through in the Europa League, they're the best team in there, getting knocked out by teams like Olympiacos or Sevilla or Villarreal or Dinamo Zagreb in the case of Tottenham, because they just don't take it fully seriously. And I've sort of made that point ever since the group stage draw for this competition was made, or maybe even earlier when Liverpool realised they were actually going to be in the Europa League this year, that, you know, Liverpool are clearly the massive favourites, but complacency is almost your biggest enemy in this tournament. And I think we saw that again tonight. And this, I mean, this has to go down as one of the most extreme examples to lose 3-0 at home. I mean, Atalanta, clearly a well-coached team who are sort of used to being in Europe now, been in there for sort of a few years under Gasperini. But I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, to be honest, exactly where they are in Serie A, but I know they're not sort of right up there competing with the title or anything. Liverpool are a much better side, but they looked a shadow of themselves in this game. So Mark, let's break down what went wrong in a bit more detail then. I mean, the first half was kind of, it wasn't great, but Liverpool was sort of okay, and you thought they'd probably find a solution in the second half, but then basically things just completely unravelled after half-time.
Yeah, I thought it got worse. I thought the first half was poor, but I thought the second half was catastrophic, really, Dave. I mean, people will, again, sort of look at the manager's selection, criticise certain individuals, but it was a collective problem for Liverpool tonight. I think, in regards to, first of all, from the kickoff, obviously, he's made changes to the side. And I don't know that much about Atalanta before the game, so I wasn't aware of the style of play or how they go about it. But obviously, Liverpool are, and they would have been aware that predominantly they're going to play a man-marking system across the pitch, which Liverpool really struggle with today. And I think one of the big things in terms of the player profiles that Klopp selected and left out sort of hindered Liverpool in the fact that they lost some of the better ball carriers, more athletic players who could operate sort of in 1v1 duels, progress the ball up the pitch if they were in isolated situations. So I think about, you know, the likes of Conor Bradley wasn't in the side, you can do that. Dominic Szoboszlai wasn't in the side. Luis Diaz, who's probably Liverpool's best ball progressor within the side. Even Mohamed Salah, really, when you factor in sort of Harvey Elliott, when you think of the players who came in, Harvey Elliott, Joe Gomez, Curtis Jones, all players who like the ball to feet, which then made it difficult when Liverpool were getting pressured because they didn't have that athleticism or that explosiveness to be able to beat their direct marker. When you think about Liverpool's best player in the first half, it was probably Cody Gakpo, and that was probably one of the reasons for that is because he's a good carrier of the ball, basically. And Liverpool, from an individual standpoint, I think, were negatively impacted by some of the changes they made with regards how Atalanta set up. But then you think about sort of the other elements when you're playing against sort of a man-marking system. So we talked about maybe some of the profiles that might help you and benefit you. But I felt Liverpool was so poor in their build-up and how they went about it with Atalanta pressuring them from the goalkeeper. I lost count of how many times Kevin Kelleher, he felt like he was Liverpool's most in-possession player, especially in the first half. And people talk about man-marking and systems against, you know, when you're trying to play with the ball and, you know, man-marking system against the ball, but it's never a man-marking system because you always have an extra player because you have the goalkeeper. So straight away, when Kevin Kelleher was in possession of the ball, he'd get to a certain point just outside the D and just simply play the ball long. Now, he is the extra player in the build-up. What he can do in that sense is he can bait the players towards him and then play to the free man. I think there was an example in the first half where he tried to play Kanati in down the side. It was a good pass, and Kanati ended up actually spoiling the build-up because it was a poor execution of the pass forward. But that was the kind of thing that Liverpool needed to do. They essentially needed to base Atalanta onto them by using the goalkeeper and then find the free player. Where what essentially happened was Kelleher had the ball, didn't bait the players with the ball, and then simply played long. And then if Liverpool are going to go long, let's say to Darwin Nunes, who's not too bad in the air, they weren't able to ring-fence the ball and get players around the ball, because if you're not going to play short and try and play through, then you can play over. But the fact is, if you're going to play over, you've got to get bodies around the ball. Now Atalanta picked up the second ball time after time, and simply Liverpool's moves just broke down then. And it was massively sort of frustrating to see from Liverpool. Liverpool had so many players dropping down the line of the ball, and then it just meant that Atalanta could just press onto them and essentially just force them backwards. And I lost count of how many times the goalkeeper was in possession and then simply surrendered the ball. So from a tactical standpoint of how Liverpool went about building the game and the players that they potentially put on the field to play, it just didn't help them at all. And then in the second half, Liverpool started to do a lot better in that regard in the first 10-15 minutes of the second half. Although it wasn't perfect in the way they went about it, they did start to gain some kind of control over the game, and they were actually creating chances up to a point. They then made substitutions and the wheels just completely fell off for Liverpool. I mean, one of the other things when you're playing against the man-marking system is how you're able to manipulate the opposition players who are then pressing your individuals. So we've seen an example of, in the second half, for example, Andy Robertson making many unconventional runs where he'd actually make runs inside the pitch as opposed to overlaps, just to mix up the sort of build-up of Liverpool to make, because that's essentially what you want to do. You want to have the opposition having to perform and move them into areas that they don't want to be in. I always remember when Eden Hazard was man-marked by Ander Herrera, I think it was, all them years ago. And all Eden Hazard had to do was just take Ander Herrera into areas that he didn't want to go and basically manipulate Manchester United's shape with it. He didn't. He played his normal game and it just played into the opposition's hands. So them kinds of sort of opposite movements or disguised movements that are not natural also come into the fact of trying to break the opposition down. And there wasn't enough of that from Liverpool either. I think we've seen a little bit of it from Robertson running down the outside and also Szoboszlai in the second half, where he tried to sort of underlap and go inside the fullback with Salah coming inside. So all in all, it was, for me, an exact sort of copybook of how not to play against the man-marking system. And of course, in the second half, when the wheels started to come off, because Liverpool, again, one of the problems they also had was they couldn't handle the centre-forward at all, whether it be balls into him in the air, whether it be balls that he was holding up. And in the end, Liverpool's frustration, the fact that they couldn't win them duels, the fact that they were expending energy and expending ideas, meant that they then ran out of them and the wheels came off then. Liverpool's shape was absolutely all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I want to just start with the Kelleher point you made. There's something that was said in commentary as well about just kicking it long all the time. Just looking on FB Ref here, he's only had two games all season where he's attempted more long passes than he did tonight, which was 25 tonight, by the way. The 4-1 win against Luton and also the 4-1 win against Brentford, where it was 33 and 29. So that obviously aligns with what you're saying. In terms of the man marking point, I couldn't help but think back to, obviously, when you hear that, you just think, you know, Bielsa, the two games against Leeds in 21-22, I think Liverpool won like 9-0 on aggregate over those two matches, completely destroyed that system, albeit against weaker players, obviously, in that Leeds team. But the one player who was having a lot of joy in both games was Matip. I think he was involved, obviously, in a move in the first game. I think that led to a goal for Liverpool. Second game, I think he might have scored at Anfield and Liverpool won 6-0 or whatever the score was that day. And I think that just goes to show, yeah, like you were saying, Mark, like the importance of players who can sort of disrupt that shape, because the rigid nature of it means that there are necessarily, you know, it's sort of inherent in it. There's going to be ways you can exploit it. And, you know, you did mention quite a few players there who could have succeeded against it. I wondered as well, you know, someone like Ryan Gravenberch, you know, someone who's played a lot in the Europa League this season, the way he can sort of beat his man with almost his first touch when he receives the ball, could that have been useful? But, you know, obviously his performance has been inconsistent, so you can kind of make that case. I mean, I'm sure there will be some talk about the team selection. I personally don't have any issues with it. Like, looking at the team, I was like, that's probably about right for the Liverpool situation. I just think that it was, you know, everything went wrong. It's one of those nights, I suppose. And I'm not going to sort of dwell on individuals. I've not sort of made any allowances to do that in this episode, because I just think, obviously, that will be happening online and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes when you see a performance that's that bad across the board, it's just not worth focusing on mistakes that players made as much as there were a lot of them, obviously. So just to give sort of my take on what went wrong in the game, I mean, I thought Liverpool, you know, the commentators were sort of talking a lot about how bad Liverpool were in the first half. And I think, like I said before, I think they did all right. I mean, they gave up chances. Kelleher made that mad save with his face, basically, from Pasalic. Although I think Elliot was fouled before that. There was a chance for Coop Myers as well after De Castellari laid it off to him on the edge of the box. But, you know, equally at the other end, Nunez, massive chance, should score. Gets the technique wrong with that finish, I think. Harvey Elliott hits the bar on the post. I mean, you very, very rarely see that happen. I think McAllister had a decent chance as well from a pullback from the right-hand side. So it was looking all right from Liverpool on that standpoint. Kelleher obviously makes a mistake for the goal. Not going to jump on him, partly for the reasons said before, partly because I think he's saved Liverpool multiple times while he's been in the team, and also tonight as well, not least at the end of that first half when he made the save from Coop Myers. But yeah, Liverpool's response to concede in the first half was awful. And then in the second half, it was even worse, really. I agree with you, Mark, in the sense that Liverpool, I think, did start the second half quite well. But as soon as Atalanta went 2-0 up, I mean, the wheels came off, as you said. I mean, there was one moment, and I don't think it led to any in the end, but like an attack from Atalanta down Liverpool's left. And Liverpool, it felt like within the space of about 10 seconds, just lost about 5 50-50s. It was like watching them last season in a way when they were just losing duels all the time. And it was just the misplaced passes. I mean, Alexis McAllister, every single episode we've done of this podcast for the past few months now, it's felt like he's been, you know, getting a huge amount of praise, and rightly so. But even he was culpable tonight in terms of giving the ball away. And, you know, one thing that struck me towards the end was that normally in that situation, especially when it's kind of like a European game, you'd expect the opposition to be sort of using their underhand tactics, going down, running down the clock, milking injuries, things like that, taking ages on set pieces. They didn't need to do that. Atalanta didn't, like, I didn't see them time wasting at all in that game. And that, for me, says everything about how comfortable they felt, to be honest. Pretty damning for Liverpool. I want to talk about the possible ramifications for Liverpool going forward in a second, because obviously it is a pretty bruising defeat. But I mean, before we move on, obviously you've spoken a lot about the kind of the tactics there, Mark. I mean, and, you know, clearly there were systemic flaws. How much do you sort of think as well, like, this was down to, you know, things I said earlier about maybe attitude not being quite right, and also just the individual errors that kind of contributed to this defensive mess that we saw as well? Because if you actually look at all three of the goals individually, I mean, there's multiple moments where they can be prevented and just some really fundamental lapses in Liverpool setup.
Yeah, I always say it's always hard to talk about attitude, isn't it, Dave? Because at the end of the day, we don't know the characteristics of the players. We don't know how they've been in sort of on the week-to-week basis, or through the week this particular week. But one thing you'd always sort of, from the outside looking in anyway, is you'd always see Liverpool's players as really good professionals, you know, spot on in terms of how they do things anyway. That's sort of reality of what gets fed back, kind of thing. I think it was more to do with the case of Liverpool coming up against something that they haven't on a consistent basis and really struggling to manage and deal with the scenario that they were in, trying to find outcomes to the problems they were facing. I mean, like you mentioned before, you know, about Joe Matip, that was a great point. He was very important in them. I think it was two games against Leeds United that he did particularly well. And the one thing, like you highlighted, was his ability to be able to carry the ball. Now, if you look at the Atalanta's forwards body shape, they were just playing into the hands of give the ball to Kelleher. But there's ways out of that. There's bounce passes you can manipulate to be able to get that spare man on the ball. And that was the real difficult or disappointing thing for me tonight, is that Liverpool tactically, I don't think for me it was an attitude problem. I felt tactically they didn't build the game well enough from the deeper areas of the pitch. And it's great, you know, Liverpool are a very, very good side, a super side. But throughout the years, they have had problems in building the game from the back against different systems that they've faced at times. They're not, you know, Manchester City in that sense. And I felt that was the big one today. The strain that they were caused when they were in possession in that first half then just led to the knock-on effect of what they then faced after it, both with and without possession, and the reason really that sort of their energy looks sapped. You know, from the outside, you can look in and say maybe the preparation wasn't right, or the commitment wasn't right. I don't really think in terms of commitment and effort that was the case. I just think that they couldn't adhere to a game plan that was capable of beating the opposition on the day, really. I don't know what your sort of your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't feel sort of, I mean, I mentioned the attitude, I don't feel like angry about the game, just because it was such, it was so unrecognisable. And I do think everything needs to be placed in the perspective of Liverpool, you know, massively exceeding expectations this season. And I do think when there's sometimes this sort of habit in football to kind of everyone sort of jumps on one factor when something goes wrong. It's whether, you know, or, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, I did sort of open with that, but you could say, you know, the players just didn't want it. You could say, you know, Klopp just got it completely wrong. You could say such and such defenders were culpable. Obviously, the reality is it's a combination of all of that. I mean, for Liverpool to be beaten that badly and that comprehensively by a team that they're much better than, basically every link in that chain needs to fail, and that's what we saw tonight. And is obviously something that could have major consequences for Liverpool's season as well, in terms of, you know, what they're actually going to achieve out of it. And I want to come on to that to finish, Mark. Palace on Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff. We know what the narrative is going to be now. Rightly or wrongly, it's going to be, is this Liverpool's kind of collapse? Basically, is it that moment in Old Trafford where Kwanzaa gives the ball away, Fernandes scores? See, Liverpool wants to draw that game from a control and position. And then obviously what happened tonight, is it going to be that this is Liverpool basically collapsing now, crumbling? That's what Liverpool are going to have to address coming into it against Palace. The pressure, which is already obviously very high because they can't afford any areas now between this point and the end of the season. I mean, that's going to go up a notch. How concerned are you for that game on the back of this one especially? And obviously United as well, although United was, again, a very different occasion and a much better performance.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, Liverpool have given up too many chances. They have throughout the season in comparison to the two teams who they're competing with. But of late, it feels like within games, there's too much variance in the games. You know, even against Brighton, against Sheffield United, Liverpool are having to come through with... It's a strange one, really, because they've got a vast amount of control during the game. Liverpool are the dominant side within the game. But what I mean by variance is there's too many big chances that are being afforded to the opposition at key moments in the game, which essentially could flip the game on its head. I've always mentioned that Liverpool never get themselves too often in a situation where they're two goals down. And they did tonight, and you're seeing the outcome of what happened. But even though they don't get themselves two goals down, there's been opportunities within a lot of games this season where Liverpool could have gone 2-0 down if it wasn't for the goalkeeper, if it wasn't for poor finishing from the opposition. And, I mean, for Liverpool, I mean, it's quite simple now. I think you'd read it as, you know, they've just got to concentrate on absolutely every league game, because the reality of them turning around a three-goal deficit away from home in Italy is probably going to be quite slim. So that the season essentially hinges on the Premier League. Now, my sort of rational head says to me, are Liverpool capable of getting more points from their games than Arsenal and Manchester City based on the evidence of what I'm seeing over the last few weeks? And the answer to that, without me being a Liverpool supporter, would be no, I don't believe they are, because unlike the other two teams we've just mentioned, there's too much variance for me in Liverpool's games and Liverpool's away games especially. I think they've got four away games back-to-back, Dave, haven't they, counting Atalanta in the Europa League as well, which, you know, are Liverpool capable of coming away with maximum points from them away games, the three in the league anyway, which is what they'd need to do to stay in contention maybe to the end of the league campaign, potentially. And because of Liverpool losing that now 2 points advantage against Manchester United, I felt they needed that cushion going into it. So my rational head says to me, I don't believe Liverpool are able to accumulate a better amount of points than Manchester City and Arsenal. But one thing you would say now is they've just got to go all out and try and do it. And, you know, Liverpool have been very good this season. I know everything's negative in relation to how it's gone tonight, but Liverpool are a very good side. And, you know, people shouldn't go over the top about individuals or the team. They've had a really poor night and failed to deal with a scenario or a system they were up against. But yeah, in answer to your question, it could be damaging because momentum, confidence has certainly shifted, especially with the Manchester United games over the last few weeks and tonight. And it's not something you need going into these final fixtures, really. But yeah, my head tells me no, I don't believe Liverpool can do it. But I'm hoping that is not the case.
Yeah, I just think it puts a huge amount of pressure on that game. I mean, you know, it's stifling the amount of pressure anyway in the circumstances, but obviously it's ratcheted up another notch now. We're probably going to learn a lot about where this team's at. You know, you mentioned the kind of performance aspects, but also on the mental side as well. You know, how much did that game against Man United affect them? You know, how much are they kind of in it right till the last against the Palace team who aren't great? And you know, maybe some one or two signs under the new manager, not a huge amount. Obviously, threatens Man City a little bit last weekend, ended up losing quite comfortably. So it's a decent fixture to have in that sense. But when you're coming off a week like this, any game is going to feel hard. And obviously, Liverpool have got history against Crystal Palace as well. So all of that, you know, it's going to be quite an intense one. But it would feel even bigger if Liverpool do manage to get the win. And yeah, like I say, just even more nervy coming into it. But it's down to these players now to respond and not let these past couple of games define the course of the end of this season, and not let that narrative that I mentioned earlier actually come to fruition. The one thing I would say in terms of a positive from this game is, and it's going to sound a bit strange, it was almost so bad that I think it might be an aberration. Because when you have, you know, we've mentioned so many things that have gone wrong here individually, whether it's Klopp, whether it's the players, whether it's their mindset, the tactics, whatever you want to say, all of that happening at the same time produces that result that we saw tonight. Clearly, that's Liverpool's worst performance of the season by an absolute country mile. And I just think sometimes a team has that in them within the course of a season. Maybe not kind of a team of Liverpool's level. But yeah, I just do think sometimes you get a spectacular off night. And that might have been what we just... I mean, let's not forget Liverpool, the Liverpool side that won the league by miles in 2020 got battered when they went to Watford. So things like this happen. Hopefully that's what it actually is. But again, almost the narrative around this game is going to be determined by what happens afterwards.
I think it's great point, sorry, Dave, that you've just made. I think that is a great point in terms of Liverpool. Sometimes you can hit rock bottom and then you can have a reset, can't you, in terms of how you go about things for the end of the season. And I think with Liverpool over the last few weeks as well, there's been moments in games where they've had opportunities to score goals or they've made mistakes which have scored goals. And as bad as Liverpool were tonight, and, you know, as much as they threw away against Manchester United, a lot of it was the fact that you just mentioned, like, Harvey Elliott hitting the bar, Darwin Nunes shooting wide. Sometimes, even if a team isn't playing well, if they go ahead at that stage or they're able to keep the opposition out when they do make a mistake, i.e., let's say, in the cup tie when Nunes tries to play the ball across to Joe Gomez at right back, for example, and gets cut out and all of a sudden Liverpool are out the cup, I feel like them defining moments have impacted Liverpool negatively as well. So sometimes, you know, there can be variance in that in terms of certain moments I've got for you. And then we could be looking at Liverpool being a lot different position than they are now, I suppose. Because like tonight, as poor as they were, they could have potentially scored a goal and then all of a sudden they gain confidence, the opposition don't. But yeah, I think it's a good point what you make. Sometimes everything has gone wrong over the last few weeks, especially. And it's almost a chance to wipe the slate clean and for Klopp to maybe now think to himself, listen, I've got to stop much rotation. I've got to go with what I perceive as the best team week in, week out. These are the last games I'm ever going to have as Liverpool manager, and go from there, really.
Yeah, it almost seems strange to say it when you've lost in the fashion that you have, and I don't think anyone is going to say that the scoreline tonight was unfair in any way, but I do agree with you that equally, I do think that if Nunez puts that chance away early on, Liverpool probably still, I reckon they'd still get at least a draw out of that game, to be honest, and potentially win it, even though, obviously, the setup from Atalanta was so effective against them, and Atalanta did look so dangerous. So, like you say, I think if this can sort of be, not turn into a positive, but if it becomes a bit of a wake-up call in a few different ways, then hopefully it gives Liverpool the jolt that they need heading into these last few games. And yeah, you just got to hope that it's sort of an anomaly and not a sign of things to come. But yeah, like I've sort of stressed multiple times, that game against Crystal Palace now feels like absolutely enormous if it didn't already. And we'll obviously be back after that one with our next episode. So make sure you join us for that. If you've enjoyed this one, please give us a 5-star review. I mean, you probably haven't enjoyed it. We've been talking about Liverpool getting beat 3-0. But if you thought we made some decent points, give us a 5-star review. And remember to follow the podcast, press the notification button as well. But yeah, we'll see you at the weekend for our post-Palace episode. And until then, take care.